And we are continuing our series on the book of Acts. This has been a neat series to go through, just to come back to the basics of the faith. We've been talking about that for a while. As a church, we want to get back to the basics. And doesn't get more basic than going and looking at the early church, seeing what they were doing, and trying to align our lives up with God's word and what they were doing then. So we're going to continue that series today. And we saw in chapter 4 that the church, they're experiencing oppression. Right? That's the bullhorn. You know, initially we had a little, that's a bullhorn. It wasn't loud enough, so we got the air horn. It was kind of oppressive. You hear it, you shake. Church was experiencing oppression. They were being falsely accused, taken out, tried in front of the courts. We also saw in chapter 5 that there was the challenge of seduction. They were being seduced by the world. Ananias and Sapphira, remember? They wanted to serve God, but they wanted to serve him so they could get recognition. They want to be recognized in the community. Well, today we're in chapter 6, and what we see here is the challenge of distraction. They're going to be distracted from their primary calling. You know, the temptation to get busy with lots of things, but not the most important thing. So this chapter, it's about being an undistracted church. It's about being a church that's focused on God's word and prayer. That's what we're to be as a church. That's what we're to be as individuals, as Christians. We need to have an undivided focus on God's word and prayer. So here's our big idea. The big idea is disciples, followers of Christ, they focus on the word and prayer. And we need to push aside distractions, all right? You're going to have distractions in life, and you're going to have to look at those distractions the way Charlie looked at me when I pulled out that bullhorn. She's like, you better get that away from me. You know, I'm focused. I'm going to get this Legos done, all right? We don't want to be like Cooper, who just, give me the cookie, right? I would have done the same thing, Cooper. That's tough to pass up. We got to push aside those distractions. And by the way, I was pretty confident we got the cookie. Whoever was up here was just going to settle for the cookie. I mean, you know, to be up here trying to put these Lego things together and everybody's watching, just, what's that? I know. Different people have different temptations. So that's right. We're going to have to push aside those distractions. So let's say the big idea together real quick. All right, ready? One, 2, 3. Disciples focus on the word and prayer and push aside distractions. Good job. All right, we're going to start reading in Acts chapter 6. So the distraction that's happening here, the church has grown, and we're going to see in this section that, yeah, kids, if you want to go to the back, we've got coloring and other things back there. You can do that. So the church has grown, it's multiplied, and now you have the problem of growth coming in. There are more needs. So verse 1. In those days, as the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint by the Hellenistic Jews against the Hebraic Jews that their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the whole company of the disciples and said, "It would not be right for us to give up preaching about God to wait on tables. Therefore, brothers, select from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and wisdom, whom we can appoint to this duty, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the preaching ministry." The proposal pleased the whole company, so they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch. They had them stand before the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the preaching about God flourished. The number of disciples in Jerusalem multiplied greatly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. That's the word of the Lord. So I'll look at a few things that we see in this passage. First, let's look at the distraction. What is going on in this church? You know, sometimes you have the problem of not having many people, and then you grow, and then you have the problem of you have a lot of people. You know, more people, more needs. It happens. I'm kind of ready for that challenge. Anybody else? You know, we've had a lot of other challenges. I'd love to have that problem. We'll get there at some point. But you see that there's more people, and so now a complaint arises. If you ever come into the church and you start hearing people complain, don't be surprised, right? It happens. It happens here in the church. We shouldn't be too surprised by that. There's grumbling. It's a grumbling. It's murmuring. The word, it talks about kind of a secret. You're keeping it to yourself, but it's a whispering talk. You know, it's not out and open in the public, but you're whispering to others, talking about what's going on. Just reminds us, you know, as we see things that aren't helpful, you know, there's no perfect church, right? No perfect church, but there are healthy churches. There's no perfect relationship. It's how you work through those differences. And so you have to do that in the church. You know, one of the things, just as you see complaints here, as you want to complain about church, or maybe it's in the office, whatever, always take those up. You know, don't go to the side. Go up. Talk to people. And that's a healthy way to work through those things. But we see here that there are times that maybe we're complaining about things we shouldn't be complaining about, but there are times that you may have a legitimate complaint. These widows, there's a rather legitimate complaint, right? I mean, they were being overlooked in the daily distribution. So as you read the Old Testament, you can see God was concerned with widows, with the widows, with the orphans, with the poor. He was concerned with them. He delegates that to the church to care for the orphans and widows. So they should be doing that, but they're not doing it right now. And so it's a legitimate complaint that they have. But we also see that what's going on with this is that it's a threat to the church. Because probably handling the complaint, probably hearing different people rumbling, murmuring about what's going on, so you're trying to address that, that's burdensome. But then it's also burdensome trying to figure out, hey, how are we going to take care of these people? How are we going to do this in a way that they can still, the apostles weren't able to get to teaching and preaching because of this. So imagine if you showed up today, it's like, hey guys, great to see you. I've got nothing this morning. You know, I got busy, you know, had a couple complaints come up, was trying to deal with those. You know, so we're all together and it's like, well, what are we supposed to do here? You would get confused on what is this meeting about? Well, we're going to see that in the midst of this, the church clarifies its priorities. But it shows us the threat that's going on. This is a threat to the mission of the church. If they're not teaching, nobody's hearing about Jesus. If they're not teaching, people aren't being strengthened in their faith. The church ceases to grow. And so you see that this is an important need that the church has, to the teaching and preaching of God's word. So that's the threat that's going on. Now, one thing just to talk about here, you hear this debate in church a lot. Hey, we need to take care of the needs of our members, right? We hear that. You also hear, well, we need to reach the lost. And sometimes it's like, well, you know, we're a church that reaches the lost. Well, we're a church that takes care of the needs of our people. Which do you choose? What do you choose to do from this passage? Both. Isn't that neat? Like, it's not an either or. We should be doing both of these. In this passage, it helps us to see how we can care for the needs of the people in the church, but we also want to be out reaching those who aren't here. We want to help others. People who don't know Jesus and aren't following him, we want to help them know Jesus and learn how to follow him. So it's both, you know. So people say, what kind of church are you? Are you evangelistic church, or are you taking care of? It's like, we're just trying to be a regular church. And normal churches, we try to do both these, you know. Neither one perfectly, but we're trying to do both of those. So that's the first thing, is that we see the threat. The second thing is that we in this passage, it shows the primary calling of the church. It shows what their main task is. You know, their main task is teaching the word of God. Yeah, I think we have this on the screen. We have verse 2. Yeah, we will devote ourselves to prayer and preaching. You know, verse 2, it said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word. A lot of times, distractions happen when everything is important, right? When everything's important, you're trying to get to everything. Everything's important, and it means nothing is important, right? If everything's important, you're trying to do it all, and you can't do it all. And so there's times when you're experiencing distractions that you have to clarify, hey, what am I really about as an individual? What am I really about as a family? What are we going to say that this is our priority? That's such an important question. It's such an important question for us as individuals, for us as a church. It's important for, you know, any organization recognizes the importance of knowing what the one thing that they're trying to do is. And what we see here is that the church is focused on teaching and preaching, on sharing God's word. You know, it says that they don't want to neglect the ministry of the word. Actually, in the Greek, it just literally means the word. you know, this translates the preaching of the word. Some translate it the ministry of the word. In the Greek, it's just the logos. Don't neglect the word. You know, it's sharing the word. It's understanding the word. That's what churches are primarily to do. We don't want to abandon this. We don't want to, you know, to neglect something means you set it to the side and you forget about it. We've got toys, once prized toys, our favorite toys, presents that we got at Christmas, and now they're out in the yard just baking in the sun, getting rained on, rusted on. They're being neglected. Well, the church didn't want to do that with God's word. And that's one of the great temptations that we have today is to neglect God's word. We can get busy with other things. You can do that as a church. You can get busy. Hey, we've got these different programs that we're doing. You know, we've experienced some of that here. You know, you can do a soccer program. You can do a school, but it comes back to personally being in God's word, personally sharing that with others. You know, we also see the unique calling of the church here. You know, we've done other activities that are good to do. You know, we've done coat drives. We've done blessing bags to provide families in need a meal at Christmas time. Those are important, right? We want to do those things. But the one thing that the church can uniquely do is share God's word. Other organizations can do blessing bags, can coat drives, and that's great. We want to do those things. There's a place for that. We want to meet people's needs. But the one thing we don't want to give up is the one thing that makes us unique as a group of people. We are coming together because God's word is important. We're coming together because we want others to know God's word. We want others to hear it, to understand it, to know what God is calling you to do in life. If we don't have God's word, if we're not studying it, reading it, sharing it, all of that stops, right? It all ends. And so the church, you know, this is where theologians, church historians have said one of the distinguishing mark of a Christian church is the preaching of the word. If you don't have the preaching of the word, everything else falls apart. Everything else starts to get skewed. So it goes back to having a focus on God's word, on teaching that, on praying. We don't want to get distracted from other things. We don't want to get distracted as a church, but it's also a reminder as individuals. We don't want to get distracted from the word. I think one of our greatest threats as a church, I'm not so worried about people going out. I mean, it might happen, but most of you, your challenge is not going to be, hey, I'm going to go out and I'm going to write a new doctrinal statement on why the Bible isn't really God's word. Now, that happens and people have done that. But I think as we're in the church, I think one of our greatest temptations is that you're going to go out, you're going to go home, you're going to have your Bible, you're going to have this list of movies that you want to watch, you're going to have a football game, you've got this, you've got that. Maybe you just look at your activity, maybe think about Sunday morning. You know, you could be bike riding, you could be golfing, you could be doing all these other things. God's word is just one of many things. Is it primary in your life? Is it more important? Is it your primary priority? You know, even just think about your calendar, being in God's word. Are you doing that with your friends? Having time where you are spending time in God's word, studying it, reading it with other people. That's where being a church that is focused on God's word means that we are individuals that are focused on God's word. We can't expect to be something as a group that we're not as individuals. We want to keep coming back to God's word. We want to be devoted to it. That's what the apostles do. It says they devote themselves to God's word. They're not letting it go. They're not forgetting about it. That word devote, it means to attach yourself to it. If you want an analogy for that, treat the Bible like you treat your phone, right? Right? I mean, first thing you do in the morning, how many people, first thing you do, you look at your phone, you know, within the first 5 minutes, all right? Probably look at your phone. What's the last thing you do before you go to bed? Look at your phone, right? I mean, we do that. I mean, what happens if you get in your car and you go 15 minutes down the road and you forget you left your phone? You go back. You know, what else do we do that with? Now, I know some of you are saying, well, hey, my Bible is on my phone. Okay, all right, you got me. You see the point, you know, what do we value? What do we hold on to? Here they're devoted to the Word of God. We need to make sure we're doing that in life. We want to do that as a church. You know, one of my burdens as a church is when you come in, I want you to know what we're talking about. It's going back to God's Word. I think sometimes in churches, God's word just kind of gets lost among a lot of different things. You know, I could be up here and just give you some great personal life lessons from my life. But that's not what we're called to do. We're called to go back to God's word. And I want you to see that, you know, preaching this message, I want to make sure we're going back. You see where it's coming from in the book of Acts. Because I think if we're going to be people that are going out sharing God's word, we need to see it happening in the church. So you can take what you've experienced and share that with other people. We need to make sure God's word is prominent in all that we do. We need to remember that there is power in God's word. Right? There's power in God's word. I mean, I don't know about you, but that's what changed my life. I was as lost and confused as anybody can get. Freshman in college, fearful of everything, totally confused, have no idea what I'm doing. And no, I've got to change some things in life, and I have no idea what to do. And somebody came up and started sharing God's word with me, started telling me about all these things that I had done. I could be forgiven, which I couldn't believe. I couldn't forgive other people for things that they'd done. How can I be forgiven? And hearing about Jesus Christ, that in him, we can be forgiven of our sins, that God is holy and perfect and wants us to be holy and perfect. That changed me. I had no idea who God really was. Started seeing that he's holy, he's powerful, he's in control of all things. I can trust him with my life. It changed my life as an 18-year-old college student. And I can't tell you how many different times in life where you're going through ups and downs, the hardships, or even just the challenges of prosperity. And God's word keeps bringing me back, keeps grounding me. Those times when I don't know what to do and I go to church and I hear God's word taught, I thought, man, this is what we need to do. How many times has that saved a man and I's relationship? Because there's times we felt like we can't forgive each other. We see, Jesus forgave me, I can forgive you. Those other times of, you know, what are we trying to build our lives on? What are we doing? What's a priority? And we just keep coming back, being saved from giving ourselves to the American dream and being anchored in Scripture. This is God's word. It's what we know who he is. We know the gospel from this. We want to be in it. We want to value it. You know, as a church, we come together to hear God's word taught. We should be excited about that, right? I mean, if you tell a college student, man, I can't wait to get to chemistry class. Now, some of you may be like that, but, you know, when we value God's word as a people, when we know that God speaks to us through his word, when we know that God's word, it's a light for our path, and we are in darkness at times. We need his word. There's a hunger for it. There's an expectation that he's going to meet us in it. You know, we want to come in expectantly for the ordinary teaching and preaching of God's word. You know, in some ways, it's very ordinary. But you also have to see just how miraculous it is, how powerful it is that God speaks to us through his word. That's why they're focusing on God's word. That's why this is a primary calling of the church, and it's our primary calling. We want to value it. We want to look forward to it. Look forward to coming in on Sundays to experience it. Look forward to experiencing it in a small group with our friends, praying through God's word and expecting him to meet us in it. It's the word of God and prayer, because we're asking God to do in that time what only he can do. We need to be praying for those things. So often, churches that are failing with God's word are made up of individuals that are failing with God's word. We need to make sure that this is a priority for us as a church, as individuals. And, you know, this is one of the things that, you know, as we came in to rebuild the church, we had a lot of things to address, and it took time doing that. And, you know, I think all of us that have served on the leadership team would say we had a lot of distractions. And I remember we had a board meeting, I think it was back in October, which we got together. And so we had difficult season rebuilding, reorganizing the church, and then COVID hits. Praise God. I'm sure God has a purpose for it. I don't know what it is. But he's got a purpose for it. But it was, you know, back in October where we just sat down and we had a team meeting, and we were studying God's word. We were praying, we read it. Hey, let's pray for these different individuals and what they're going through. Praying for people in the church, praying for people outside the church, praying for the gospel to go forward. And it was a wonderful time. And we got done, and just several people saying, you know what, this is the first time that we've been able to be undistracted as a church. You know, as you get focused, you get clarity. Usually with that, you start to get momentum. I hope that we're coming up in a season where we're able to focus on God's Word. We've got clarity on some of the things that we want to be doing, you know, in church on Sundays, but also in discovery groups and just a way that we believe is going to uniquely position us to be in God's Word, to get to know the people around us, and it's going to propel us in mission. I'm excited about that, but it's taken a long time to get there. And now we have that. We don't want to lose that focus. We want to keep moving forward in those things. We're getting clarity as an organization, and it's going to start meaning that as individuals, we're lining up with that. We're wanting to move that forward, wanting to share God's Word with other people. You know, one of the things that is primary in this is you see that their focus is on God's Word, but you also see one of the things that is driving that is their desire to see others go deeper in God's Word and see people who don't know Jesus come to know Jesus. It's that mission is propelling them forward, that desire to share what they've experienced with other people. So as we see that God's Word's primary, we also see there's just a driving desire. There's an internal desire in them that they want to share this with somebody else. You know, I've heard the old saying, it's like, hey, I'm just one beggar trying to tell another beggar how to find food. You know, that's what we are as Christians. You know, we found a place to get some food, and we want to go out and tell others, hey, you look hungry. I can tell you where you can find food. There's so many people that they're starving spiritually. They're starving. And what that looks like is there's confusion in life. They don't know what to do in life. They're depressed. They don't have hope. They're fearful. There's anxiety. They're just eaten alive with that stuff. God's Word gives us hope. God's Word nourishes our soul. Like that word Kelly shared today. Psalm 23, God says that He will restore our soul. That's another reason we come to church on Sundays to be in God's Word, because we know binge-watching Friends may be relaxing, but it's not going to restore your soul. Going and watching every football game all day long, that's not going to restore your soul. There are great times going to the mountains and doing a hike and seeing all this beautiful, you know, God can speak to us in certain ways through nature, but it's in His Word that He restores us, He fills us, He restores our life. That's an amazing thing. He fills us. So that's the primary calling of the church. Third thing you see in this passage is the need for the church body. The whole reason the church is able to move forward and being devoted to outward ministry is because other people in the church are stepping up. You know, it's really neat. You know, the leaders come up with this idea. Hey, we need to be focused on God's Word. And they share it with the people. And what do the people say? Great idea. I mean, you see the need for the whole body to be united in this. It's not just a leadership decision of, hey, you know, we're just kind of, I don't know, man, waiting on widows and, you know, dealing with food and all that. Man, I'm just kind of not my thing. I'm just going to go lock myself in my office and, you know, study. No, it's about sharing the Word with other people. This excites the leadership. It excites the body. The whole church is united in this. And it takes the whole body being devoted to that. We see that here, that this task, it's an important task. They don't want to let it go, but they also realize they can't let it hinder them from moving forward. And so they raise up people. There's people in the church that are raised up for this leadership position. We see that there's some qualifications for these people. They're men of good reputation. Now, in the Greek, that word, it means they're witnesses. Literally, it's witnesses. You know, we've talked about the calling of the church in Acts is to be a witness to who Jesus Christ is, to be a witness to what He's done. They're going out and doing that. As we talk about us as Christians, one of the primary descriptions of a Christian is a witness. It's a reminder we should be doing this. We should be sharing with other people. So they're men of good reputation. They're witnesses. It says they're full of the Spirit. You know, being full of the Spirit, it's not just something that a few highly ranked apostles are called to do. This is something that every member of the church, we're called to be filled with the Holy Spirit. These guys are demonstrating that. They're leading. They're making good decisions. They're caring for people. You know, in verse 2, it says, it would not be right for us to give up preaching about God to wait on tables. That to wait, that's where the Greek word diakoneo comes from. It's where we get the English word deacon. One of the leadership roles in the church is deacon. It means to serve. Leadership in the church is serving other people. You know, you don't come into leadership I didn't come into leadership in the church so I could just do whatever I want, right? It's going to be my way. No, leadership, it's serving others. It's looking at the whole and what can we do to be a blessing to the most people? How do we care for our church? That's leadership, and that's what they're doing. Each person is doing their part. They're being entrusted with ministry. It's not just, you know, in the Christian church, it's not just a few people who do ministry. It's the priesthood of all believers. And we see that here. There are people that are being raised up to lead. And we're going to see Stephen, one of these deacons. He's actually going to be the first martyr. And he gives an amazing sermon. These are people that are being equipped to know God's word, to share it with others. Fourth thing I want to look at is the result of all this. The result is the flourishing of the church. Isn't that awesome? The flourishing of the church. This is verse 7. We have that on the screen. Verse 7. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. This is what they've been praying for. You know, the church has been praying for the gospel to go forward. They're faithful to share that with other people. And so now we see that the word of God is spreading. And what happens when the word of God spreads? What happens when the word of God spreads? People get saved. They come to know Jesus, right? Does it? When you spread the word of God, it doesn't just disappear in the night. It has an effect. We're seeing it have an effect in different ways in the book of Acts. Some people receive it. Some people just give it a stiff arm and keep on moving. But we see that people are coming to believe in it. This is something that as we think about our lives, our calling as disciples, our calling as witnesses, are we sharing God's word? Or are we going out sharing it, believing that, man, I'm sowing seed. You know, just this last week, I threw some seed in our yard, and I'm waiting for that to start sprouting. Not all of it's going to grow. I've got four kids. I know some of it's going to get trampled on, but some of it is going to take root. It's going to start growing. It's going to find nourishment. As God's people, we want to be witnesses. We want to share what he's doing. And we see that the word of God spread, and the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly. Just a natural thing that happens when you're telling people about the good news. It has an effect. And it's also interesting that a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Isn't that neat? Now, we can go through and we could expound on what all that means, but isn't it interesting that people that are making a living in God's word are coming to faith? Just because you have God's word doesn't always mean your heart's in the right place. God's doing a work outside and inside the church. That's why we want to pray. We want to be committed to sharing God's word. We want to be committed to praying for it. Because only God can make the lights go off in somebody's heart. Only God can make the dots connect in their minds. And we want to see that happen. That's why we want to be, as we gather on Sundays as a church, we want to be bathing this in prayer. As we gather in discovery groups and we go out to do Bible studies with our neighborhoods, we want to be bathing that in prayer. We need God to move. We need him to work in those things. The church, it continued growing because from head to toe, from the pulpit to the pews, it was focused on the word of God and prayer. From head to toe, from the pulpit to the pews, it was focused on the word of God and prayer. That's what we need to do as a church, to be focused on God's word, to be praying for it. That's one of our primary callings as a church. And I want to make sure it's one of our primary callings as individuals. Again, we're never going to do something corporately that we're not doing privately. It's going to take all of us doing that. You know, one of my hopes as a church is that as we've gotten clarity, we've been able to focus. I hope we start getting more momentum. You know, one of the things I was thinking about, how many people like to chop wood? Anybody like to chop wood? I don't see very many hands. No? I thought at least a couple of my kids would say, no, I make them chop wood. I love chopping wood. There's just something therapeutic about it. But you know, when you're chopping wood and you go out, you've got a big round piece of wood, you're trying to split it, you know, the first mark comes right here, and then you try and hit it again and it goes over here, and then it goes here and here, and you're making all these little dents in there. And you're not getting anywhere. And as you get better, your aim gets better. You hit in this spot. And then you swing it again, and you hit in that spot again. And you hit in that spot again. And you start, that's how you split wood. You don't usually hit it on the first try, and it just splits. You're hitting the same mark over and over again. One of the things that I'm praying about for a church is that we start to hit in the same mark, that we start to get more cohesion of what we're trying to do, of how we're going to reach people, and we start hitting that mark over and over again, that we're coming in with a focus. Man, what are we going to be about as a church? We're going to be about God's Word. And let's getting people into God's Word. And let's be praying for when they get into God's Word that it goes into their hearts and their minds, that they come to know how amazing the good news of Jesus Christ is, that it is worth giving your life for. It's worth being embarrassed. It's worth giving up good things in life. It's worth pushing aside cookies and all the other things that the world has, because what we have in Jesus is so much better. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Guys, we usually wrap up with a song, just a way to sing and to celebrate what God has done in our lives. One of the things, how do you apply this message? Well, I just felt like, man, we need to pray. And so I want to wrap up by praying specifically. We've got a couple points on the slide, a couple things to be praying for. We want to be focused on the Word as a church and as individuals. And we want people to receive the Word. We want to receive it. You know, we just heard God's Word. Are we going to receive it in our hearts? We want people out there that weren't here on Sunday to hear God's Word and to receive it. So we want to be praying for that. Church, one of the things that we've talked about is for the past few months is being in God's Word and taking that to other people. It just really lines up with this message today. And this message, this text, is one of the reasons we're doing some of the things that we're doing. As you know, we've been piloting discovery groups, which is just a way to get into God's Word, get to know other people. And also think about, what do I need to do in response to God's Word? We're doing this because we think it's going to impact us, but we also believe it's something that we can take out to others. You may be really surprised by this, but as we've rolled out these groups, Greg has actually taken one and started it in his office. Doesn't come as a surprise at all, does it? But I asked him, you know, this is something we want to be praying for. We want to be praying to take God's Word out. And I asked him if he'd just share just a couple minutes about his discovery group and kind of how it's going and how we can be praying for him.
The second Friday of January, I told my office that we were doing the coat and blanket drive here at the church. And I told them if they wanted to be a part of that, we would do it. But because I work in a very cynical office, a couple people were like, what does that mean? What are you talking about? And someone raised their hand and says, what are you going to do? Just take it to Goodwill or somewhere? I said, no, I'm going to actually take it out and hand it out. Well, because they're cynical, they didn't actually get it at first, right? But what happened that day is that day someone came to me and said, man, I've been struggling with my faith. Do you think we can meet on Monday? So on Monday, I brought out this book and I did a discovery group with them, one Monday. Since that day, we've grown. So there's two Protestants, an LDS, a Catholic, and an actual atheist in our group. And the atheist in our group probably is not doing it as much about Jesus as much about, she has like 6 months sober and I got 14 years. And she's like, man, the program's not working for me. What's working for you? And I'm like, my Bible is what works for me. But I can break it down pretty easy with this, right? What's eating your lunch? What are you grateful for? Let's read this parable or this story and let's talk about what it means. Not in this super theological manner, but what does it just simply mean? What does it mean to have faith in something else other than yourself? What does it mean to trust the process, right? So we trust the process because we say we give it to God, right? But who does an atheist give it to? She doesn't know. So far in this process, what she has learned is that she just can't control it anymore. So one day she will decide who she wants to give it to. Right now she's just setting it off to the side, right? But the biggest question is, what does this say about the life God wants us to live? And then, if this is God speaking to you, the atheist doesn't believe that God is speaking to her. To be honest with you, the LDS member doesn't believe God is who, John Wilson or whatever his name is. I laugh because I'm like, the only power I have is the living water, right? Is Jesus Christ. But I'm with five people every Monday that are just willing to dive into a story on the number one selling book in the world. And I tell them, you don't have to believe that God is speaking to you, but you got to believe that God's speaking to me, because I believe it. And that's not up for debate. It's growing, it's working, And in an office that likes to drink and do other different various things that people do in life, there's five people that are trying to do something different. So I look forward to another month from now when maybe it's six. And then there's going to come a time when there's only three because I've failed, right? Or maybe they're just not ready yet. I don't know. But we talked about in our first week, we can give this to our families. I said, the heck with that, I'll take it to work. Because you know what? On Monday from 1 to 1:30, I can eat my lunch and I can eat my bread. And people can either join me or I can do it by myself. And it just so happens they are always willing to join. Really. Because out of 40 people, at least five are lost and they need something. So be bold. Don't be scared. And realize if you open yourself up and make yourself vulnerable, you might just make a difference in either their lives or their children's lives. Because I don't know if the atheist will ever believe. But I know her children will see something different.
That's good. That's good. Thank you, Greg. Hey, man, yes. Give him a hand. Let's just close in prayer. Father, we just thank you for this time. We thank you that in the distractions of life, your word helps us to simplify. It helps us to say there's certain things that we can push aside, and it helps us to see what we need to focus on. And I just pray that we'd focus on your word. I pray we'd see a difference in our lives as we commune with you, as we relate to you, as we spend time with our Heavenly Father. And God, I also just pray for Greg specifically, just that you bless him in this group as he's meeting with people that are in the throes of addictions and others. God, help them to see just how powerful your word is and the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And God, I just pray that we'd see more and more of these groups get started and more of them started in the church and outside the church. Help us to be faithful with your word and help us to be faithful to pray for you to do a great work in our community. We thank you for this time and we pray these things. In Jesus' name, amen.